from the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, meet the mite terrorizing North Texas rosebushes. We'll start tonight with news from the Irving-based Boy Scouts of America. The National Executive Board is expected to vote this evening to end its ban on adult gay leaders. Instead, individual scout units would be allowed to set their own policies for choosing leaders. As KERA's Courtney Collins reports, a North Texas Eagle Scout fighting for equality says this is a step in the right direction.
For 12 years, scouting was a way of life for Eric Hay. He made Eagle Scout. He was a camp counselor. He held leadership positions, but he wasn't out. At 24, Hay is now openly bisexual.
It was hard for me to believe that something like that would be going on in an organization that I love so much.
We caught up with Hay on a break at work, a Panera Bread in Plano. He's been involved with a group called Scouts for Equality for almost 3 years now, cheering when the ban on gay scouts was lifted 2 years ago. Today, he's excited about the option to get back into scouting as a mentor.
Down the road, when I want to be an adult leader, I can do so. And all the great people that I've met through my time with Scouts for Equality, they'll also get to.
Lifting a blanket ban on gay adults doesn't mean some scout units still won't allow them. Groups backed by religious organizations will be able to choose leadership in line with church beliefs, for example. Hay says that's okay. This step forward will allow him to be honest about his sexual orientation if the topic is broached.
If in conversation it's brought up, I don't have to lie about it. I don't have to make something up or just, not comment. And, it's not like we're trying to introduce anything, any kind of sexual content or anything into the Boy Scouts. We're just trying to be who we are.
Hay and Scouts for Equality are also working to create what's called inclusive units. That's a scouting group tolerant of different lifestyles and sexual orientations. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Prized rosebushes in North Texas are at risk from an infection called rose rosette. The disease is incurable and has already cost Southlake about $500,000. Steve Huddleston is a senior horticulturist for the Fort Worth Botanic Garden, and he's here to explain. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, Justin.
First off, what is rose rosette?
Rose rosette is a disease caused by a virus. It is spread by this mite, and the mite feeds on infected rose bushes, and then he transmits the virus to healthy rose bushes. And if he doesn't crawl there himself, he can be borne along by the wind. So it is a wind-borne disease. But it is carried on the mite.
And it's specifically aimed at rose bushes. It can't affect other types.
Exactly. This disease is host specific. It affects only rose bushes.
Now, I've heard that one of the symptoms of rose rosette was that it grows so many thorns, you can't even see the stem.
That is true, yes.
Is that a mutation? It sounds so abnormal.
Yes, it is. This disease really causes a mutation of growth. There are several symptoms. Elongated shoots, for one, red or yellow leaf model, leaf distortion, excessive thorniness or prickles on the stems, a succulent, sometimes thickened stems, witch's brooms, which is a collection of distorted branches that emanate from one particular point, and it looks like a broom or a rosette, hence the name rose rosette. Red, often puckered foliage. Those are just some of the symptoms.
Is rose rosette something new to Texas?
Well, it's been here for a good 2 or 3, maybe 4 years. It was first recognized in the Rocky Mountains back in the early 40s, but it has taken that long for it to come to the Metroplex, and it is here in full force. It's been in Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, even Missouri. These mites are having a field day because of all the roses that we have planted in the Metroplex.
Southlake had to pull up 5,000 rose bushes. The Dallas Arboretum is also fighting the disease. How has it affected the Fort Worth Botanic Garden?
We've had to pull up a number of roses over the past 2 years. We have several rose gardens. We have had to remove roses from the Oval Rose Garden, from the Lower Rose Garden, and now from the Ramp. And we've had to replace those with either other roses or, as in the case of the Ramp most recently, we've used periwinkles.
We've heard mostly about the toll at public places. What should someone with a couple of rose bushes in the backyard look for? And is there any way to protect against it?
Well, there's no guarantee. There's no way to protect. All roses are susceptible to this disease. You can look for the symptoms that we've already discussed, and if you see those symptoms on the rose bush, you should remove it immediately. There is no cure for this disease, so what we encourage people to do is to take a large bag, perhaps one of those lawn bags, put that over the bush so you're covering the roses, and then you dig up the rose bush, roots and all, and get rid of it. Throw it in the trash. Don't compost it. Send it to the landfill.
Steve Huddleston is a senior horticulturist for the Fort Worth Botanic Garden. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Justin.
Today on Think, an incredible tale of being switched at birth. In December of 1988, two sets of identical twins were born in a Colombian hospital. Before they could leave, though, these perfect pairs were accidentally mixed up. Susan Dominus tells their story in a recent issue of the New York Times Magazine. Today, she told Chris Boyd about how the swap was sorted out decades later, thanks to Facebook.
What's so astonishing about all this is that the way they were separated was just a matter of happenstance, and the way they were reunited was such happenstance. Basically, Jorge worked with a couple of young women at an engineering firm in Bogota, and one of the young women, this gets a little bit confusing, but bear with me, her name was Janet Paez. Janet Paez's boyfriend was the cousin of Jorge's long-lost identical twin, William. And William works at a butcher shop, and one day Janet decided to bring her friend Laura there to, you know, get a good deal on some steak and some ribs for a barbecue they were going to. And Laura in particular was incredibly struck by the similarity between William, who was working at the butcher shop, and Jorge, her colleague from work. And eventually Janet made the connection as well. And Janet really just couldn't let it go, and she started showing the two young men their respective twins' photos. When William saw the identical twin photos, he thought, oh, what a hilarious coincidence, and sort of let it go. But when Jorge saw the similarity, he was really struck by it. He really felt something powerful was going on. So he went onto Facebook to see pictures of this person who looked just like him. And when he was scrolling through the photos, he actually saw one of William, his identical twin, with a young man who looked just like Jorge's own fraternal twin. And that's when, pretty quickly after that, he and the young women who were sharing the photos started to realize there must have been a swap.
You can read that story by Susan Dominus. It's called The Mixed Up Brothers of Bogota at KERA.org/think, where you can also listen to the podcast of today's show or tune in tonight at 9. This evening brings us mostly clear skies. It's a low around 82. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 99, and tomorrow night mostly clear with a low near 79. It's currently 99 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 98 in Tyler, and 97 in Wichita Falls. You can follow KERA News on Twitter or like us on Facebook. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.